Welcome to the Town of Bolton Board of Selectmen Special Meeting, Human Resource Personnel Committee, Tuesday, February 18th, 2025, 5:30 p.m. at the Town Hall on Zoom. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Number two, discussion and possible action on recommendations to the Board of Selectmen for firearm policy. Currently, we have no firearm policy, and the consideration is here to enact a policy
or discuss it
or discuss it. So
may I ask one question, Mr.
Yes.
Do we have anything in the employee handbook?
No.
Thank you.
And what would we like to discuss? You want to
I read over everything, and I looked at the two components. There's two components here, obviously.
Right.
One very different ones. One of them is really is personnel policy. Mm-hmm. The other one is ordinance. So I would just state myself, personnel policy, it makes sense to have a policy, a reasonable policy, whatever it is we come up with and go forward on it. As far as an ordinance, the state has probably the most restrictive gun laws of anybody. Being a gun owner and being a carrier of a weapon, truly understand the number one, we're well trained and we follow the law, and we are not the issue. The issue is that Dick that's out there who has an illegal weapon, who could care less what kind of ordinance you have, and they're the bad guys. They are the criminals to begin with because they have a firearm that's unlicensed. So creating an ordinance for people who follow the law is, to me, say redundant, but the state of Connecticut has sufficient laws. I don't think we need another one. And I would oppose it.
So, okay. Is that it?
That's all right. I thought I'd be in a nutshell. Quick.
Is it okay if I have Brian kind of go over the laws as seen from his eyes, which is the state of Connecticut?
Yeah, so, you know, laws have changed in the last couple of years. We used to be an open carry state. And the passed law a couple of years ago that we are now a concealed carry state where the weapon cannot be visible from a bystander. And so that's something that's recently changed. We also have no gun possession on school grounds, whether you're carrying it or it's in the vehicle. It's taken very seriously, and we always monitor if information comes our way that someone is carrying, or even if it's just in the car alone, we really don't have a shoot. Then obviously, as far as safe storage in a motor vehicle, it has to be in a locked glove box, in a locked safe, or in the trunk, which obviously locks, not being a bed of a truck or kind of like a hatchback where you have access to glass. So a couple years ago, the laws have gotten more strict, just making sure that the guns are more carried in a safe manner. So it's pretty much the most recent changes.
Okay. Any?
His name, please.
Full name. Officer Contenta.
Contenta?
Yeah, Content.
C-O-N-T-E-N-T-A.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome. Amanda.
So for those that may be online or watching this later, I took the weekend and did some research into various ordinances and policies that all the municipalities have across the state. I purchased a book that's available for anyone to look at from Amazon called Municipal Firearms Ordinances in Connecticut, edited by Harwood W. Loomis. And it looks at hunting, discharge, weapons, gun laws, and ordinances in the municipalities. And I pulled together a much shorter three-page consolidation of that for the board members who are present, which will be posted along with the minutes of this meeting. I also drafted a proposed town policy and potential ordinance just to begin conversations, knowing that this was going to be a discussion. As some might anticipate, I am on the other end of the spectrum from what Bobby suggested. You know, I am not necessarily against the Second Amendment. I have feelings about it, but I know that that is the law and I think we should abide by it. But I am also very in favor of things that keep our residents and our employees safe. And to me, it's about safety issues and the current environment that we are in and the use of weapons and guns as terrorist weapons in the country right now. I mean, you read the news and gun violence is up across the country. And I know you mentioned that it's people who gain these weapons illegally, but a lot of these weapons that have been in the news recently and recent shootings have been gained legally by parents, by other people in the families. Are they being used legally? No. Would an ordinance that deters, would an ordinance that says people cannot possess them on public property stop someone who intends to do something illegal? Maybe, maybe not. But it serves as a deterrence that we have the ordinance. It says that we are not in support of intimidation or violent weapons being brought onto our property where they could potentially be used to harm people. I'm glad to hear that you'd be in favor of a personnel policy. I think it's very necessary. As someone comes from a nonprofit background, I can speak to my experience, which is that we have policies as a private employer that say no employee can bring a weapon into the site and no visitor, including the public, can bring a weapon onto our site for very good reason, right? I work with the homeless population who may or may not be agitated, people who get upset. I have had instances where I've gone out and visited people in their apartments where they have a right to own a weapon, where I have felt unsafe. We have had clients bring weapons onto the property and had to have them removed because we had our policy in place. We were able to have them removed for the safety of our employees and the people that are on site. And so for me, it's really, truly, it comes down to safety and intimidation. And I don't see the need for people who have a license or permit or not to carry weapons that are deadly or dangerous on public property. If you want to hunt on your property or wherever you want, if you want to go to the range, absolutely, that is your private and personal space. But when it comes to public space where the public is coming to hope to enjoy that space, I think that it behooves us to make sure that they can feel safe and that there are no deadly or dangerous weapons on the premises.
Wow.
And that's where I come from.
No, okay. I just have a minor comment in that I appreciate where you're coming from. I've heard that argument a lot. And it gets down to really take away, I understand your concerns. Everybody has those concerns. But the bottom line is this never stopped the bullet, never will stop a bullet. And that's what we're talking about. And that's really, you cut all the arguments away. If someone, and a bad person, someone who's lost it, who's angry, whoever, I mean, it's, I never consider a person who goes out and shoots somebody to be one, a sane person, because they've lost it, one or the other. That's just not, or you're a damn criminal and you don't give a damn about anyone's life. And you stop those by arresting them and putting them away. But I don't think that an ordinance, all it does is, to me, is create a false sense of security. You want to be secure, and well, we have areas, you know, we lock downs and everything else. But you do mention, in all fairness, the instances of these mass shootings. But they're done by someone or a group of people who have issues, and most of them are. I mean, you can't be at that time, I consider sane to be doing the things with that, taking just dramatically taking people's life, or done in anger. You see occasionally that'll happen, but whether you have a rule or regulation on that, how are you going to stop that? You're not. How do we stop it? Quite frankly, is if this we get together and we have a better mental health process, we have dealing with people and this and that. To me, you go further along of dealing with this type of activity than any rule or regulation does. It's my comment. You know, okay. Well, I'm stuck. Yeah, I'm not going to ramp. So I'm stuck.
I do have a pistol permit, and I believe that looking at what started the issue should drive the question at the table, and that would be to look at our employee handbook, employee policy, and start with that.
Yes.
So I would also like to chime in a little bit about fairness, right, in terms of not allowing employees, but allowing the public to have weapons in the same places doesn't come across as very fair, number one. Number two, I would say that stating the negative of what an ordinance wouldn't do is not a favor in terms of the positive of what allowing weapons on site would do. And then I would also just mention again, workplace violence. Often workplace violence is not necessarily perpetrated by people that work in the workspace. It's perpetrated by family members, friends who come in with a vendetta. Will an ordinance stop them? But it might make them think twice if there's a big sign on the door that says no weapons allowed here.
So my understanding is any ordinance that's put in place would need to be enforced. And without enforcement, first of all, who's going to enforce it? We're not going to hire staff to do it. So you can say you can't have a weapon in your car and park out in the parking lot. How on earth would anybody have a clue? And how do you stop them? And why would you stop them? And then you have people who are going to come into the building, and they've been doing it forever already. Nobody knows who's got guns or weapons. You're going to have all our employees here. Look at Natalie going over to Herrick Park at 9 o'clock at night alone. I'm not saying she carries a weapon. I have no idea. But if she felt unsafe over there, what are we going to tell her? Don't go clean it until tomorrow morning. Don't do your job. Don't go lock the doors. I'm not saying I have no idea. But if they feel safe what they're doing, that's fine. If they don't, do we have to start sending two people over there because we're saying you can't protect yourself? And then there's the thing of the enforcement. We would have to have a full staff to enforce this. And if something happened and we didn't enforce it, then are we liable as a town because there was nobody to enforce these ordinances that we put in place?
So what do you mean by enforcement? Are you suggesting that we would be obligated to like search people? Or just enforce something if we happen to notice that a weapon was on a person? Because that seems pretty cut and dry to me, that a lot of these ordinances in this book do speak about contacting police officers and having someone removed from the premise. And that is how they handle enforcement. I'm not suggesting in any way, shape, or form that people be patted down and searched for weapons or have their vehicle searched on public property, but that if they were visible or brought out in a threatening manner, that police officers could be called simply because of the presence and intimidation with a weapon.
But they can now anyway.
It just
means, which is a current practice. If someone feels threatened or intimidated, we call our
911.
I mean, I don't think we do have, yes, if they show it, now that the law is that it has to be concealed, if they were to whip out a firearm, right, that would be cause for calling. But there are certainly other types of weapons that I do not believe are addressed in our policies, or I don't know if we have policies against violence and threatening or anything. So,
well, I think our employee handbook does say something about workplace violence.
Okay, I haven't seen
okay
that policy,
and we have used it. We have called President State Trooper when employees have felt threatened.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. I think there's valid points on both sides of this conversation. But I think the issue with that, and I'd like Trooper Contenta to speak to this, is you know, if I called 911 because somebody came to town hall carrying a firearm or other instrument that we deem unsuitable for town property, if they're not threatening anybody, the chances are, unless we happen to have one of our troopers in town, they're not going to get here before that person conducts their business and leaves. So I don't know, we're not in a location where we have a municipal police force that's readily available. So I think that's something, is that accurate?
Yeah, no, exactly right. Yeah.
So I think that's something to, you know, think about when you're saying, well, we can just, you know, we can call the police to enforce it. I think that's something to be aware of, that, you know, we have, you know, two shifts of police that are here a certain number of hours a week, you know, that we don't have somebody here all the time.
That's valid.
So how much responsibility do we have to enforce this ordinance that we would put in? It's like a speeding sign where as long as you don't get caught, you're not guilty.
It's the same with any private employer, right? Like if someone were to walk into my employment and have a switchblade in their pocket and I didn't know it, you know, right?
No harm, no foul.
Right. I think that to the point that Jim was making, there would have to be some type of transition period, right? You need to develop signage and you would need to, I don't see why it wouldn't be possible for staff to say like, hey, just so you know, if someone came in with a weapon, right? And there was no threatening behavior. And if they felt comfortable to simply say, just so you know, on such and such date, the town passed an ordinance. Mm-hmm. Now weapons of the following sort are no longer allowed on town premises. So please be advised next time you come that these would not be allowed, right? I don't think we need to jump straight to punitive punishment or removing someone from a property. But I do think it's useful. And I think it sets a tone that we put the safety of our employees and residents before all else.
I don't think anybody's disagreeing with that last thing.
No, not at all. So somebody does come in with a switchblade and they do some damage. Can you speak of who's responsible for that?
You said I'm not into luck.
If somebody comes in and does harm somebody with a switchblade,
yeah,
and the town has an ordinance that says these rules, where would it go on your behalf?
Well, if anyone hurts somebody with a weapon, regardless, that's state law. We would come in and we investigate it. We talk about with the signs about not carrying firearms, that's never going to stop an active shooter. You know, he's not going to come to the door and see a sign on it that says no firearms to stop the act. Statistically showing, mainstream media doesn't cover how many good people with a firearm stop a bad guy with a firearm, because without the proper equipment, you're not going to be able to interact. So obviously gun-free zones, or, you know, make them soft targets like New York City, Chicago, are both gun-free zones. And look at those statistics, right? Because you are holding back the good guy to protect the public. And it's a lot more common than people think. It just doesn't get the coverage. But as far as having ordinances or any kind of policy, that's more like an internal or interdepartmental action, where we would just investigate the state law. And then once we get done with our state law investigation, we would then turn it over to you and see what you guys want to do interdepartmentally. So.
Okay.
And I think I've already stated, I agree that there's little that you can do to stop someone who's on a rampage. I will just say that, like, from my perspective and what I have seen in my line of work, right, someone may come into a building and have a weapon on them and leave without incident. But say that person comes into the building, no intent
right.
to harm anybody, and gets agitated while they are on the property or while they are in the building. Them having that weapon makes that situation just that much more dangerous to everyone involved. And I think that, I'm hoping that no one would disagree that I think that now in society, tensions are incredibly high. We are seeing people have less control over their emotions and pop off doing things with cars they shouldn't be using. You know, I am just very concerned about escalation as well. And I do think that that is a real threat in today's day and age, whether or not someone comes into a building with intent to harm.
I think if we were going to go in the direction you're speaking of, it would have to be something that would require machinery at the door that scans people and have people their empty their pockets and do that type of thing. That's, I think that's a way certain state buildings have gone and others have
certain
not.
State, yeah.
Not all of them. It's very expensive. It does not necessarily stop someone. They've gotten it in other ways. It's extremely expensive. When you look at how you go about referring to Trooper Contentin, what we go back to, what our policy is, whatever, we do not have a hearing process. And that's a whole other level of discussion we perhaps should have at some future date to put a whole package together. But I think what you're talking about doesn't, I don't know that it would stop anyone.
Well, it's all town properties, so
I can say specifically that it has stopped clients in my business from bringing a gun in. So we've had clients come to our premise. We have noticed that they have a knife on them, and we have told them, in the future, you are no longer allowed to bring this on the premise. And the next time they come, they don't have it. And if that instance is the time when they escalate because they're upset with us because we didn't do something with, right? Maybe there's a tax issue or a permit issue, right? Someone gets angry. If we stopped it previously, then they can't harm us. They don't have as much chance of harming us when they do get agitated the second time. So, I mean, I do think it's about prevention, and nothing is going to be absolute. And I certainly wouldn't want to make our spaces seem inaccessible by having metal detectors and stuff like that. That is not what I'm insinuating. I'm insinuating that an ordinance and a rule simply sets the standard for the town that we do not believe in intimidation, violence, and carrying of deadly or dangerous weapons into our public spaces where people should feel safe. That's all.
Public property or public spaces?
Well, you will see in the ordinance that I drafted, I was rather inclusive, but I came to the table knowing that this was going to be a conversation.
Well, so July 4th, Indian Notch Park, would you want to be standing there searching for weapons? I mean, I've never been there. I don't know.
I'm not insinuating that would be
a practice or policy of enforcement. What you do at one place, you got to keep it fair, and it would be Herrick Park. It would be...
Right, but I've already stated I'm not proposing...
Cemeteries.
...enforcement through searches.
So the enforcement is down to nothing? I mean, if you, whatever you do at one place, you got to do it everywhere.
Right.
So... you know, you get
sometimes it
people.
Just becomes apparent, right? Like that someone has a weapon on them. Sometimes they make it known, even if they're not going to use it, right? Like, I'm not.
Then they're against the concealed carry, anyways. And if they're threatening,
for firearms,
you have a reason to call. I mean, that's already a given.
That's for firearms. Yeah. There are other types of weapons that are not addressed in our policies as well, our ordinances.
What is the state police
at? In Indian Notch.
There's what? It would be.
It could be very problematic in Indian Notch Park.
Yeah.
To search people. I can imagine.
You know, one of the things is that today, I mean, let's think where we are today. If an employee or whatever feels that there's an issue with someone coming in, they certainly are more than have a right to call 911 or the trooper or something. Hey, I don't know, but I think there's a problem here and haven't come. And that's going on just something doesn't look like whatever. And
we have done that.
Yeah.
Plenty of times.
And we no idea whether a person was carrying, not carrying, had an issue or not. But that's just, I mean, we have functioned this way for as long as I've been here and we're rather successfully at it. And this is not the only time when we have a bunch of nutcases going around losing it. I mean, I'm a bit older than you are.
Fair statement.
There's no argument about
that. No argument about that. But no, we really have gone through periods in our histories where we have had I don't know what it is, but the people are have lost respect for each other, and that's what it gets down to, and have a sense of they've been I don't know, left out, nothing done right, or they're being dished, they're being something's going on that has happened. And unfortunately, the access to weapons have been there. Now, one of the issues that's out there, and it's an issue that unfortunately I don't see being forced enough in this state. Someone does a minor crime, has a weapon. That person should be jailed and jailed for a considerable amount of time. They'll walk. I'll guarantee they'll cut a deal and walk. That's where it begins. When we have a society, a legal system that doesn't even prosecute, doesn't even punish these individuals, what is the ordinance going to do? And that's the thing. That's, if you want to get to the bottom of this thing, let's deal with the bad guys or women. I mean, guys as generic guys. Female violence is almost as bad as male violence these days when it comes to that sort of thing. If we're not dealing with that on a statewide level in the justice system properly, I don't see any ordinance that anybody has is going to do much of anything.
Does anybody have any idea how many permit holders there are in Bolton?
I would
register weapons permit holders.
SLFU. I could get that for you.
10%.
Probably more. It's far higher than that. I would say closer to 25.
Would it be helpful for this discussion for me to share an experience in my employment here in Bolton?
Please do.
That I felt unsafe, and when I considered carrying a firearm. So there was a situation here in town that's probably well known, but I won't go into super specifics, that I had to deal with a very radical individual. And it is public information that that radical individual had a lot of firearms, a lot of illegal firearms, and that a truckload of ammunition was taken away from his premises. It's also public record that I was in court upholding town ordinances against this individual and had to put my name and personal address on the record in the courtroom. And I've had to go with our resident troopers who were wearing full body armor and carrying AR rifles that were locked and loaded to serve papers. And that was the time, it was the only time I would say in which I considered carrying a firearm at work for my personal protection. And it is one in nearly 20 years of service, but it is a situation I think that we have to be cognizant of, because it could happen again. It is likely to happen again at some point. I don't know if it has a bearing on the conversation, but it's a personal experience, and I felt very unsafe. I felt unsafe for my person,
mm-hmm.
and I was concerned for my family because my home address was on the record. So I think it's something to consider when you're having this larger conversation.
And if I may, yeah.
I didn't arm myself for a variety of reasons.
No, I'm just,
because I was one of those employees that could be responding to the school at any one point in time. And I wouldn't have a place to safely store that. So I didn't. I, for a lot of reasons, I chose not to. I found other ways of being cautious.
Yep.
But it is a personal experience that I thought might be important for the board to consider.
Thank you.
So you're out there by yourself. When I think it, no, I don't mean this in a negative fashion. I'm saying this because we have a couple of board members who aren't here, aren't able to participate in a discussion. I think it's important that they become aware of what's going on, get a chance to review everything. And we, because there's, there's two issues on here for us to really discuss. And I think it's worth getting everybody's input on. I feel it's only right. So, you know,
should be
you obviously know where I am. I'm my stance is not something that I have immediately come to, because I've thought about these issues for quite some time, and my position is based upon my thoughts and my feelings on the issue. But it's important that the rest of the board has the same opportunity.
Agreed.
So I think it's only fair for you for bringing it up, and fair for everyone. So
talk about the policy part then, though, because we agree that there should be something there and see what.
Yeah, and not Rob. Yeah, we should, and I'm not sure what it should be, but it's.
Did you have a chance to read the one that I drafted, is a compilation of policies from Simsbury, Tolland, and Ellington?
Yeah. That's a limit. That was part of that initial stuff you had in the email, wasn't it?
Correct.
That was part of the stuff.
Came
out today?
Yes. Oh, yeah, sorry. So I drafted a potential policy. It's long, it's like a page.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
Because some towns.
Oh, I've got that one, yes.
Some towns actually have.
Oh, this is what that one is.
Yep,
okay.
So some towns actually have their personnel policies as part of their ordinances. Yep. And so this was able to point me in the direction of those. And so. That's where this came from, is pulling from those three different town policies.
Can I ask a favor when you do something like this? Could you just put a title on it and a signature that you drafted it?
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't look like it. I thought it came from our town.
Yeah, I can add that in the footer.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and send it.
Okay.
The header. So when it gets posted.
The header, the title.
Yep.
So. As far as the ordinance, my last say is I think it's a very slippery slope. Enforcement is very difficult. Anytime you have an event at anywhere, you have to try to do something. I mean, Brian's usually at Indian Notch, which I think is it's not just, it's open to the public, so it's subject to.
We technically already have an ordinance for our parks and recreations.
For what? For weapons?
Yep.
For use on parks.
So in our rules and regulations for use of town parks and recreational areas, section 3, hunting and carrying of firearms regulated. Yep. Hunting or carrying or discharge of dangerous weapons as defined by the Connecticut General Statutes is not permitted in town parks or recreation areas, except at such times and in such areas as are determined by the first selectman. So ultimately, my proposal was just to expand that to town open spaces and town buildings.
Can I say something?
That's
just as an employee, and as an employee who's had to call him because we've had irate people here, and as an employee who had to call the state police barracks and have somebody come out because we had somebody come screaming down to this office and freaking out and having to tell other staff we need to leave this part of the building and not knowing what they had on them, I don't think an ordinance, you can put whatever you want in writing. If somebody's going to do something, they're going to come do it. It doesn't matter. But I don't think an ordinance or a policy saying that staff shouldn't be able to carry. I'm not saying that they all should. I'm not a gun owner. I'm not even licensed. But would I have felt a little more comfortable? Absolutely. If I knew somebody was in this office that had a gun. I can tell you at the time, the person that was in Jim's position was not comfortable at all. And it took state police almost 15 minutes to get here. So that's a very nerve-wracking thing to have to go through. Just as a staff member, something to think about.
So that ordinance that you have there, I believe, was established about 20 years ago?
I couldn't tell you.
About 15.
It's not clear whether it's an ordinance or a park rule.
He was searching the ordinances,
We did establish... Because there was a question, and folks wanted to go hunting in at the when we had
a goose problem too that we were considering.
We were considering to have individual. This was even before that when we acquired the property from School Road. And that abuts Herrick Park, that wooded area. There are people who wanted to hunt. I said, no, we're not going to allow any hunting there or bow use and all that. And that is where that came from. Really had nothing to do with a concern about personal protection, but it was really designed as a no hunting ordinance type situation. Just to put a perspective.
Context, yep. Appreciated.
Next, the staff member's name that spoke.
Kathy McCavanaugh.
I didn't recognize you, Kathy. Sorry.
No.
It's been a while since I've seen you.
Thank you. So, as far as the policy goes,
I think it's something to be discussed anyways. I mean,
right.
I think we should talk about it and as a full board.
Okay.
I really think, in all fairness, it's, I'm done.
Do you have any input on the policy?
I believe it should go into the employee handbook first.
Yeah, this one was for the handbook.
Yeah, handbook. Yeah, that's what we're thinking of.
But not as a town book. It's an employee policy.
Correct. I drafted personnel policy.
I'd like to have it reviewed by our town attorney.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
And then have it brought before the whole board.
And this was just a draft to spurt discussion,
right?
Understanding nothing we've ever written here ever ends up in its final draft the first time around.
So sometimes you do really good with motions.
Well, motions maybe, but
so with this employee policy, proposed language, personal policy, which would be employee, we should digest it and bring it up at the next.
It would have to be shared because I did not share it with the full board. Just
we did today.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay, thank you.
Just because I knew,
but this is something you need to have in the discussion. You can read something, and I think the sharing of the sharing idea is really what makes everybody. You have a sense of where you are, and what everyone's intent is, because the language may not represent
correct
people's intent. So we may want to just, to me, have a subcommittee of the entire board, if you will, just this issue or whatever you want to call it,
a
special meeting. Well,
because it's
not a subcommittee.
You know, Kathy's got a valid point. I mean, the best thing, somebody comes in here, all you can do is throw staplers at them.
That's a valid point from her perspective. There may be other staff who feel differently.
Right. So
I just want, I mean, and I respect, you know, your opinion.
But it's important to hear everybody's side on this thing.
Yeah. Agreed.
To know more too about Trooper Contenta, about other possible ways of working with our staff so that they have not a knowledge base of what the state law is and what they have the right to do. Do they have the right to have pepper spray? Do they have the right to
see something?
You know,
yeah.
That's it. I think we should start with a resident state trooper and go through those thought processes with Pete
that makes sense.
I would like to hear from our staff and perhaps some of the unions and as well.
All right. Well, we'll expand the research on the employee policy and get input from staff.
So should we have the full meeting of the board before we approach staff and see, you know, give some clear guidance to the town administrator about how we would like that to happen?
It would be helpful for me to have specific guidance for
before staff. Responsible. So with that, would be appropriate to adjourn. That's all on this one. Right?
Yep.
And then move on to our next item.
Yep. I'll second that. All in favor? Aye. Aye. Oh, that's 3 yes. Well, do I vote?
You don't have to.
To the entire board?
Technically, the next meeting
to the entire board, correct.
Do they know it was immediate? Follow
me, Bobby.
They might not show up until 6:30.
Okay, Tanner seconded.
I know.
Pam seconded the motion.
Okay, thank you.
And there's three in favor, which is the board.